Okay, and see you in the library.
Okay, hello everyone. And the biggest worry is that I wasn't prepared for a mic like this and my hair might be destroyed, but I'll promise to stay this way so you don't see the back of me. The library section, how many of you have been in the library? Yeah, here in our library, in the main library. It's a wonderful place to meet people. That's where students usually do their group work there, and there's a great cafe, and it's renovated, and it's a great meeting place. So I hope that even if you don't go there for other stuff, it's a great place to meet. Hello, everyone, again. My name is Lotta Kokkonen, and I work at the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. I teach mainly intercultural communication. My background is in communication, so that's the lenses that I have are communication lenses. A lot of the stuff that we talk through today could be found in research with psychology, sociology, linguistics, you name it. So just to sort of keep it in mind that the way that I see the world is through communication. And the Center for Multilingual Communication, Academic Communication, used to be the language center. So most of my colleagues are actually linguists, which I'm not. So that was a kind of a culture shock to start working with these people. And we're talking about the same phenomena, and yet we don't always understand each other. Languages and communication, difficult to interact. So most of my colleagues are language teachers, but then we do a lot of research on other things like pedagogical development, intercultural communication, multilingual communication. And one of the topics that we are quite active is internationalization. And believe it or not, but you are part of the process. You are part of the industry. Because of you, we can say that our university is international, right? That's why we want you here. Because we can say that, yes, our university is very international. It's funny how people still see internationalization as number of faculty members who are foreigners or students who have a different passport. And this absurd idea was concretely taking place when one of my colleagues, who is, she was born in US and she's lived around the world, and then she's lived in Finland for 20 years, and then she applied for citizenship and she got the Finnish citizenship. And then another colleague of mine was kind of congratulating her, saying that, oh, congratulations, but now we don't get the points from you anymore. You are not international anymore because you've got local citizenship. So what I want to say with this is that whenever we are looking at internationalization, international students, international faculty, we always could have a sort of critical approach on that as well. So what does that mean? Okay, what does it mean? So what I want to ask you today is that what does it mean to you that you have taken a part of this industry called internationalization? You have, packed your bags and traveled to Finland, and here you are, and you might already wondering that, why did I do this? Or I hope that you're still on that zone of, yes, oh, it's so beautiful outside. It's cold, but it's beautiful. Why? What are you going to gain from all this? This is the question that I want us to think about for the next maybe 40 minutes or so. So there is a question mark at the end of my topic, encountering a new culture, a question mark. Is that really what we're doing or something else? Right. Oop. Sorry, after the holidays, my IT competence is. Yes, right. So yes, institutions want to be international, organizations, companies want to be international, but what does that really mean on a personal level? So what does it mean to you? The idea, what we very much believe in Movi, is that through these experiences, through working with diverse groups of people, you actually gain something. It's a competence that you can enhance. So, also, what I hope to do today is to ask the questions why, what are you hoping to gain from this experience, but also help you to probably verbalize the things that you will learn during your exchange. A lot of the time, students have taken a lot of courses in international, global, whatever. They have done exchanges, whatnot, worked as a tutor, all these kind of things, and then they go to a job interview, and then when they are being asked, what can you do? So we know a lot of reports from the field say that students have difficulties of verbalizing the kind of competencies that they have. So one of the things that I hope that you kind of think about is that why did you come, but also what will you gain from this? So whenever you are in that position of somebody asking you, why should we hire you and someone else? Well, I see that you traveled to Finland, but well, we have these other candidates that have traveled to here and there and da 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 da. So then you can explain, okay, this is what I can do after my experience. This is what I learned. This is what I can work. This is how I can work. Right. I hope that a little bit of interaction is okay. They say, yes, please keep them awake. Right. So if you can turn to a couple of people around you and share some comments on, so this is the content. Yeah, what are you expecting? How to cope? But this is what I wanted you to. What do you expect? So, what do you expect from your exchange experience? Pretty bluntly, why are you here? This is the question that you will have again and again and again. Why are you here? So, change some ideas. Okay, I'm sorry I'm interrupting. You just got to start of the conversation. That's a bad habit that I have as a teacher, sort of looking at my time. Okay, that's enough. Let's move on. Couple of things if you want to mention. What are you expecting? Anyone? Friends. Great. Something else. All right. So the discovering new culture and the Finland in same sentence, do you mean that you want to learn about Finnish culture? I might ask, what is that? Because I don't know. We come back to this. We come back to this. Yes, good. A lot of the time, most of the st if I made a sort of quick survey on, let's say, over the last 10 years, I've done this every spring, every autumn, I'd say 97% of the students say exactly the same, is that I'm here because I want to experience new culture or cultures. Often students enroll to my courses because I teach intercultural communication. I want to learn about other cultures. So 97% of students are sort of, we end up in this dialogue with me questioning, what do you mean by that? We come back to this later. Something else. What are you expecting? You and then the person behind you, both of you, both of you. So you are not going to be the person who's being asked, what can you offer us? But you are going to be the person in the job interview. I wonder what this company has offered to me. I can picture you. Yes, good. What about the person behind you? Yes, yeah. So you want new experiences, experience something different. Brilliant. Anyone here who is expecting to see reindeers and the Northern Lights? Good. Fair enough. I don't have a picture of reindeers, but I do have a picture of the Northern Lights because I've lived in Finland almost 50 years. I've lived some time abroad, and I've seen them twice. So just to sort of give you realistic expectations, I know that lately, a couple of last years, we've had really good experience with the situation with the Northern Lights, but so that you don't kind of expect this, and then if you don't see the Northern Lights, it's going to be a horrible disaster. But being serious about this is that oftentimes, if you look at experiences, or whether that's an exchange experience or something, a holiday somewhere, if your expectations are not met, you're going to be disappointed, even if the experience was enriching in another way. So being critical about your expectations can help you to also change your expectations if, for example, in the case of Northern Lights, it's very rare that you would actually get to see them. And sometimes, if you don't have very clear expectations, you can also have a sort of more open mind on, oh, I didn't expect this, and this happened. So the kind of, if you're disappointed, then that the kind of how you meet the environment is also different, right? You go on a holiday and you expect a beach, and then there is just desert. Then even if the desert is stunningly beautiful, you don't probably see that because you just wanted to have the beach, is what I'm kind of saying. All right, so this is what you expect. Why? Why these expectations? Why do you expect that you're going to make new friends and jump out of your comfort zone and wonder what Finland has to offer to you? Why? Where do you get these expectations from? Media, maybe? Intuition, yes, but where does that come from? Yes, past experiences, often that. What else? Yes, my friend went to Finland last year, and this is what they told us. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So you've read somewhere about Finnish system or something, and you kind of have the expectation they are somehow different, maybe. Yeah. One of the things that we often hear when we Finns often hear is that people are really interested in our education system because it apparently is very good. Well, that was the case about 10 years ago, right? So if you now look at PISA results, for example. If you look at our level of high education, so it's kind of, but still, it's always relative. What are you comparing it, and what is it that you want to see? Right, good. So yes, often our expectations are based on maybe intuition, but I would argue that maybe your intuition is also based on a knowledge that you've gained from somewhere, sometime, maybe in the media or a friend or something. Here, I would like to offer you a TED talk that is really good. It's about danger of a single story. And it's a story how we often are fixated with a story that somebody told us about a place or a person. Because that's their story, that's their experience. Some of you said that your previous experiences might be the base of what you expect experiencing now. Oh no, you don't want to identify yourself. Okay. Have you ever had the experience that you've been somewhere, like your childhood village or town or something, and then you've moved away, and then you call back, and it's not the same anymore? Same here. So your own experiences are also in a single story that took place in a particular time, and you were different. The place was different. So also, if you're expecting something and somebody told you that this is Finland, this is Jyväskylä, also question that because they are a different person, or you were a different person. So your experience can be totally different. Right, I have that link to that TED talk later in my slides. It's a really good one to sort of question our perception on things. Right, so here are the Northern Lights. Check, you've seen it. You can move on. Okay. All right. And this is actually in Jyväskylä, so you don't even have to travel to Lapland to see that. Yes. All right. So here we come to the question of culture. So, as I said, I teach and do research on intercultural communication. And in the fields of linguistics, education, even in business nowadays, there is a thing called paradigm shift taking place. And a lot of researchers and teachers and scholars are kind of questioning the notion of a culture as a national culture, something that we can put under a microscope and see that, oh, this is what is Finnish culture. And a lot of us are also questioning that, okay, so what if I'm a Finn, then does that dictate my communication every given situation? Here, I always refer to the stereotype about Finnish drinking habits. I don't know if you have heard about the stereotype of Finns really liking vodka, getting drunk every Friday, and passing out on sauna. Thank God I don't have to do that because I don't like vodka, I don't drink vodka, and I don't go to sauna on Fridays. I do that on Saturdays. So So, but this isn't just an illustration of, yes, we can have the ideas of sort of national culture and what is that and what is kind of Finnish culture. But then more and more people have traveled the world, they lived abroad, they have parents who come from different countries, they have different hobbies, they identify with an international hip hop community or something, some gaming community, more, much more than something else. So that the question of national culture is very, I mean, at places it's important and it can be a very important element of your own identity, particularly when you now come from somewhere else, you're being sort of faced that, oh, I didn't realize that I was this much dee 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 dee. So it is part of our or sort of identity, how we built our identity, but at the same time, it doesn't really explain everyone's behavior in every given situation. In fact, it can actually lead into a self-fulfilling prophecy in communication if we treat a person according to a stereotype, for example. So the stereotypes have a lot of negative connotations as well. And we don't really want to be treated according to a stereotype, do we? I mean, I don't know. Can we take an example? Where are you from? Czech Republic. All right. So if you meet this, what's your name? Thomas. Okay. So Thomas here is from Czech Republic. What would we expect from him? So, for the first week, I'm sure you can still laugh about it and go like, yeah. But then after, if that happens to you, if I meet you in May and I'll ask you how many times you've been asked about a beer, then I'm sure that you, by then you'll be fed up with the question, right? Oh, yeah, you're proud and he likes beer. And then you end up in a dialogue. Oh, what kind of beer do you actually like? I like this. Okay, I give you that. Right, but you know, you get my point, right? A lot of people do not like it if they're being treated according to a stereotype only. I mean, it can be a good conversation, but still, if you kind of expect them to be like, if anyone here from Italy? Right? So imagine you came to my course and I would say to everyone in the classroom, oh, you are in time. Usually Italians are always late. That would be quite, yeah, that would be the answer. That would be the answer, wouldn't it? So it's kind of that a lot of the times we do see stereotypes in humor, in comedy, but at the same time, it can be really, really offensive. And in addition to that, I think that we should see individuals behind the stereotypes. I mean, I can have Finnish traits, yes, and I often use it like strategically. In conferences, I often enjoy meeting new people and learning about new studies and all of that. But at some point, I just go like, you know, I'm in Palermo and I'm just here seeing only the conference center. And then there's the city. And then I tell my colleagues that, you know, as a Finn, I really need my peace and quiet time. I'm actually quite shy. So I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to go and lay down for a minute. And I do actually go and see the city. So I can use it strategically and say, oh, we Finns are shy and quiet. So I don't really like to interact with you. Okay. So, yeah, anytime. Everyone, if you explain it to someone or someone explains to you, is that, well, this is because of my culture. Yes, let's believe in that, but also have a small question mark that, what do you mean by that? So, what I'm suggesting that we actually, rather than asking that we're going to meet new cultures, we meet people who represent different cultures in plural, and their identities can be plural. So cultures do not meet, it's people who meet. And not saying that culture is not important, it is. National culture is important. So don't take this at that in a way that I would say, oh, it's not. It is important. And if you look at the political discourses nowadays, it's a tool that also has been used big time. So it is an important concept. Right. So here is a link to the danger of a single story. And a word of warning. I'm going to throw you a very bad slide next. Okay. I know I used to teach presentation skills, so I know myself that this is bad. Okay. And it's theory. So, but we are studying in university, right? So theories don't make us scream, right? All right, I like this theory. It's a good one. It's a Walter's theory of interpersonal knowledge. So it kind of explains what I just said. Here is the slide. Right. So imagine that you're meeting a new person. You're meeting Thomas here. First thing, what we do normally, because what the communication theories say that whenever we meet a new person, we like to somehow manage the uncertainty of, oh, I don't know who Thomas is, and I don't, oh, what if I say something that he doesn't understand, or what if I don't understand him? So there's a lot of uncertainty, and the idea is that we want to manage that uncertainty so that the communication feels more natural, or we kind of feel that we understand each other. So the theory says that every time we meet a new person, it's kind of what our brain does, and what we do is we look on the cultural level knowledge. What do we know about, his country or whatever is the kind of culture that we are looking at, in order to explain that, ah, okay, they might actually like beer, and beer is something that they do drink in their country. Okay. So that's the first level. Then the next level is the sociological level. So we observe the person, and we kind of look at, okay, what's the age, gender, or educational background, and we try to explain that. Ah, okay, so that explains. That helps me to manage my uncertainty. The next level is psychological level knowledge, which is about, for example, that, oh, is Thomas an introvert or extrovert, or what kind of humor, he likes or he doesn't like, or whatever. So it kind of goes on a more personal level. However, I don't know how Thomas will communicate with me until we actually communicate with each other. Because Thomas might be interacting differently with me than with you, for example. If you put him in a position and say, what have you offered to me? What are you going to offer to me? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. The interaction can be very different depending who you are interacting with. So what Walter says is that if we think we know how an individual behaves before we actually interact with them, the idea is based on an illusion. It's not based on reality. So kind of keeping this in mind, that it's okay to sort of start the interpretation from the cultural level knowledge, because that's what we mostly have, and then try to remember the other levels all the way to the last interpersonal level. Because it could be that this person replies to you in a very different way based on how they interpret that you communicate to them. Right. So, one more short discussion with your neighbors. Now that you're here, what do you think will be different? And what do you think will be similar? And let's squeeze it into 3 minutes in total. So things that you think will be different and things that will be, yes. Yeah, or your previous environment and this environment. Yep. So 3 minutes. Go. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you again. I hope that you can continue this discussion over a coffee break or something in the future. The reason why I'm asking you not only think about the differences, but also the similarities, is that often when we are traveling to somewhere different, we kind of expect to see the differences. However, if we think about then, gaining new friends and getting to know people, often what does attract is the similarities. So there's a vast research in communication, also in psychology, is that similarity and liking have a very, very strong correlation. So it doesn't have to be that you look alike or you're the same age or something else, but it can be also a shared interest, same value, something. Sometimes it's only the way that you talk. The pace in your speech, for example, is similar, and you get this, oh. When somebody has the same favorite band, or when someone likes the same food, or when somebody, I don't know, loves the same film or something, and you go, oh, you love that too. Ah, oh, and then you have the kind of And this is not maybe why you came to Finland. Wait, this is not probably what you came for. You came for the jumping out of your comfort zone. Oh, wow, that's different. But that takes a lot of energy. Always facing something that, oh, what? Huh? I don't understand. Or, oh, that you, oh, they completely misunderstood me. Or, oh, I don't know this language and I'm trying to be polite. That is exciting. But it really takes a lot of effort. So at some point, you might want also to find those, oh, it's so nice that, the similarities. But to find that in interpersonal relationships, you need to go on an interpersonal level. So you actually get to know each other. If you're based on just looking at each other, make decisions that, oh, they don't like the people that I, oh, they look interesting. You might go completely wrong, or you might end up being in a bubble. This is what we know from social media. We are more and more with those who are similar to us in somehow. And if you, as a future professionals, need to solve a lot of big problems that my generation and before me have actually created, and I'm sorry about that. It seems that we are not able to solve it, so you have to do something about it, like the climate and whatever. You need to be able to work with people who think very differently from you, okay? You can't be just working with those that you like. But you have to work with people who you don't understand or who are very different and but that's something that you have to be able to do. And this is your opportunity. You can hang around with people who are very similar, but be ready to jump out of your comfort zone, not only in experiencing ice hole swimming, that I do recommend. It's really literally jumping out of your comfort zone, seeing the reindeers and whatnot, but then also meeting really different people. And be ready to go and sit next to a person who looks like a person that you would never sit next to. Okay? Because this is what happens naturally in a classroom. You walk into a classroom and look at people and think, oh, we might have something in common. So you go and sit next to them. Or in group work, you like to work with those people that you already know because it's more comfortable. Or you think that, oh, we get along. I love when people say that, oh, we have chemistry. Oh, we don't have chemistry. What's that? I mean, I know there's pheromones, but I think that's more when you are looking for a companion, something else. But when we're really getting to know people, it's often about do we find those similarities? Do we kind of find it nice to be working together? Sometimes we like it not nice to work because the other person's accent is difficult for me to understand. And we go like, But that's the moment when you have to think that, okay, I'm here to learn something. It's not their fault. They have a different accent. It's your incompetence of not understanding the different accent, okay? We all have different accents, and that's richness, right? Good. Sorry about preaching, but I just got. This is what I hear. My colleagues go to conferences and they come back and I say, oh, that would have been so interesting, that one presentation, but the accent was so weird, I didn't understand. And I'm thinking, is that your problem or is that their problem? Because I think it's your problem. You are not used to listening different accents. You know, if you didn't understand that accent, go to YouTube and find, you know, presentations in that accent and get used to that accent. Okay. Right. So what we know will happen to you with if you look at the sort of statistics. The things that might change, but not necessarily, is the environment. Here we've got snow. Some of you might be coming from an environment where there's no snow, no ice. Don't worry, we also fall over. that's normal, that's natural. But please do not use those electronic scoots during the winter because that will kill you. If you do, wear a helmet. Think how things sound or smell could be different. I don't know. I mean, I've been out from the nightlife scene in Jyväskylä for years, so I don't know. But I remember back at the day when I was young and going out. A lot of exchange students would say that you don't have nice clubs in Jyväskylä. I said, we have nice clubs. What is your problem? We didn't have clubs that would play a particular music. Okay? So, sounds, if you're used to a particular kind of acoustic environment, that can be different. And you don't even realize that you miss it until you kind of miss it. Same with smells or tastes. Language can be different, values can be different, what is right, what is wrong, etc. Norms and rules. How do you greet people? Do you shake their hands? Do you kiss them? Or do you just stand 2 meters away and go this? Or, you know, things like this can change. Perceptions or interpretations, how you interpret a smile in different situations, etc. So things like this can change, and this can create the uncertainty of, I didn't understand. Oh. So be prepared, right? And what does that then do? We know that all of this, that there are other differences. Can have anxiety, ambiguity, and uncertainty. So these are the kind of emotions and feelings that you might go through. And if you have a lot of anxiety or a lot of uncertainty, we know that that can lead to being tired. Along the fact that if English is not your first language, using that actively on a daily basis can make you really tired because you're listening more carefully and you're also, you know, making more effort in, you know, producing the communication, even burnout. Sometimes people start avoiding contact. If you always, the one person, you always realize that, oh, there's always misinterpretations, then is that the person that you want to work with? Not necessarily. So if you always experience the uncertainty with a certain environment or with certain people, you it's kind of natural to try to avoid that. Alienation, you might feel at one point that, oh, nobody understands me. And oh. It can also lead to a situation where you feel that, ah, I wish I was back at home and then this would be more effective or blah, 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 something, something. That's perfectly natural to think that way. Often when we feel bad, we can also blame the environment. For example, I've seen a study where there was a US American women who lived in the Netherlands. Someone from the Netherlands. Yes. Right. So these women had the concept of a Dutch day. Okay. Do you know what that means? No. For them, It meant that kind of a day when you, first of all, when you're supposed to wake up, the alarm clock doesn't work, so you're late. When you get up from the bed, you stumble and you hurt your knee. And then when you are making coffee, it's, the day when everything goes wrong, right? For them, it was a Dutch day, as if it was the environment to blame for their bad day. And I'm not saying it's like this, but this is what they said. So it's easy to blame the environment. If you're really, really tired of something, it's easy to blame the environment. I also have a personal experience from Thailand where I had to go to a hospital with a toddler, and we ended up waiting for quite a long time. And I remember thinking that, oh God, I wish I was back in Finland. This would be so much better. Because I was tired, I was hungry, I was worried, I was frightened, whatever. So this is also something that we all might feel at some time. Even mild paranoia. Imagine you're sitting on a coffee table and then suddenly some of your colleagues start speaking a language that you don't understand. What do you think? Yes, they're talking about you. Yeah. We don't know. And most likely not. But this is what happens. This is what happens to us, that if we don't understand, we become a bit paranoid. Okay. This is reported in research, greatly sort of laying in psychology. It doesn't necessarily happen to you, but if something like this does happen, don't worry. It happens to most of us. And remember, there's always help. So don't think that you have to suffer on your own. There is help, right? You know about student life and all that. If not yet, you will soon find out. Okay, so don't be alone with this. Right. But how to cope? I'm going to skip some of the slides now. We can't expect that our experiences are always the same. Whether you are tired at all or not depends on many, many, many things, these included. And then what the students expect the most and what they miss the most and what are the most worrying things for them, this is a local study that we did, is that it's not about, oh, I don't understand the culture or this or that, but it was about practical things at university. I don't know how sisu works. And sisu is like a curse word almost. You will get to know it, I'm sure. So the practical things. I don't know how this works or how that works. And there's always someone that can help you with. Some people felt that they were lonely. So trying to make friends is really important. Trying to find someone that you can share things with. Stress and well-being sometimes, financial issues, and then only that comes the culture shock or homesickness. So it's not necessarily that you will experience these burnouts or something. Doesn't happen to everyone. So why relationships? Why I feel that it's really important you get to know the people. You go and sit next to a person that you would normally do, and really getting to know people is that we know that it's really important when you're adapting to life changes, but also people can tell you where are those clubs that play the kind of music that you like. But then the expectation that you will meet Finnish people and you make friends with Finns, some of you might be lucky. Not everyone necessarily, and it's not because Finns are racists. Some of us are in some kind of situations, unfortunately, but it's more about the fact that happens everywhere in the world is that the local people already have a lot of friends. Why would they invest into a person that they know is going to be there only between 6 to 12 months? So that's just a common phenomena that does take place everywhere. International students often hang around with each other because you also share things and you have the support system. You kind of can wonder, oh, did you also taste mammy? Oh, yes, I did. Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? Mam is something that we eat during the Easter. Oh, I don't eat. I hate it. Some Finns eat during the Easter time. So other exchange students can, share similar experiences, and that's social support. What I do recommend is to be persistent. So really, if you want to know about the Finnish schooling system or things like this, of course, the Finnish students know better because they've gone through that. But you have to put effort into those relationships because it doesn't just happen that you just go into a cafeteria and some person will sit next to you. Oh, do you want to be my friend? Sometimes could happen, but yeah, I wish. At the end of the day, how this experience is going to be to you at the, after this, whether you feel that Finland was home or the Jyväskylä was a home, it doesn't have to be that it's kind of a home, 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 but you have a sense of belonging and you enjoy your time here. A lot of different studies in different fields have come up to with the same conclusion is that geographical places actually becomes home through relationships. So when you find people that you can relate to, so that's why relationships are important. Benefits of extensive and diverse social networks, there are many. I'm not going to go through them now because my time is out. What I do want to show you, become aware and reflect. If you have challenges, do not hesitate to seek help. You're not alone, right? Jump out of your comfort zone. It's an emotional ride ahead of you. Get to know people. Keep in contact with your social network so that you don't experience what is called the missing out syndrome, is that you only be in social media and think, oh, my friends are doing this and they're doing that. I wish I were there. Keep in contact, but don't get hooked onto that. And what I do recommend is that a lot of places where you study, hopefully you get to do group work because that's when you get to know each other. If you only sit next to each other on a lecture, well, you're lucky if the person next to you says to you that I want to be your friend. But most often it takes time, right? To get to know each other. And for sure, I know Movi courses will offer you situations where you actually have to interact with different people. So there's a one course starting already next week where I am teaching. And this is a course where we actually do collaboration with the University of Burgundy. So we have online lectures and then we have face-to-face lectures, Finnish students and international students. That will start next week. It's 3 to 5 credit units taught in English, but we also use multilingual communication. And what we really focus on is to sort of extending the idea of interpersonal relationships and then building competence, intercultural competence. And another course is taught, no, sorry, it's quite small, taught by my colleague, Karoliina Ahonen, and it's about communication and collaboration in teams, and that starts a bit later in February. So at least these two courses, I can assure you that we will give you time and space and even instructions to get to know each other. So that will be guaranteed. But for now, I wish you good times, a lot of educating experiences, and enjoy because this is the adventure that you hopefully will not forget and it will teach you a lot. Thank you very much. What's next? Final word. Done. Done. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lotta, for an excellent presentation.
The lectures for today are now finished. There is some cake and coffee in the lobby, so you're all welcome to go there. And we will have our small info desk table there. So if you have any questions, you can come there and ask us. If you have your arrival certificate to be signed, we can sign it. And yeah, we have there for like an hour and a half time for you to ask questions, drink coffee, get to know each other, ask whatever you want. And then we will continue with the orientation on. And we have really nice backpacks for you with the university calendar, at least. It's like a little University of Jyväskylä backpack. It's really nice. You should go come and get it. But yeah, that's all official for today, and we will be back here on Tuesday, 9 a.m. Thank you.